Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
And the Taoiseach has been meeting other European leaders this afternoon, by video conference, of course, to discuss the pandemic and the continent's response. One of the items on the agenda was the controversial concept of so-called vaccine passports, the idea that anyone who has received an approved vaccine can prove it and therefore travel more freely to other countries. Wouldn't that be nice? Yesterday, the world's airlines confirmed that they are about to launch their own COVID travel pass system, but the idea isn't without its critics. In a moment, we'll hear from infectious diseases consultant Dr. Owen Jabara and from MEP of Fianna Fáil, Billy Kelleher. But first, we're going to Brussels and Europe correspondent for the Irish Times, Naomi O'Leary. Naomi, you're very welcome to the programme. Tell me, which European countries are pushing for this vaccine passport idea?
So there's essentially two different concepts here. One is a medical thing, so just medical proof that you've been vaccinated. And then there's a second question, which is decisions about whether you should have access or be able to skip certain public health measures based on your vaccination status. So there's two different things. Most countries support the idea of having data so that you can say if you've been vaccinated or not, mm-hmm. and that should be coherent between member states so that if you've got one from Greece, you know, it can be recognized in Italy and so on. What's controversial is the idea of whether people could be exempt from public health measures based on their vaccination status. It's quite supported by Mediterranean countries, particularly countries that are dependent on tourism, because they're looking forward to the summer. And, you know, if they could start getting bookings, they'd be delighted.
Yeah, and therefore,
but it really
forging ahead,
doesn't
aren't
have
they?
Wide support.
The likes of Greece and so on, they, as you say, they really depend on tourism and they're running with this idea already.
Well, the fact is that at the moment, having a vaccine is not something that people can choose. You know, people are called based on their vulnerability. They aren't widely available enough to give people meaningful choice to get vaccinated or not. So it's possible that Greece, I mean, it's a sovereign state, it could make a decision if it wanted to push ahead and say something like you don't need to quarantine if you have some sort of proof of vaccination. It would be free to do so. At the moment, what's happening is the EU states they've agreed to work together on the technical basis for what kind of proof of vaccination could take form in, but they are not going to talk about giving people extra rights based on their vaccination status because it just doesn't have majority support yet.
And when the Taoiseach was given the floor at the Leaders' Summit today, do we know what he said about this vaccine passport idea?
Ireland's position is very much that, you know, it's two separate issues, that it makes sense to have a medical certificate system, but that it's premature to start talking about vaccination passports, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And it's widely shared. There's also, you know, companies could forge ahead and start giving people different service based on their vaccine status, but that could be open to legal challenge. You know, some people can't have vaccines because of a medical issue. You could have divergence in rights based on age. Also, you know, in countries like France, there's quite a lot of people who don't want to have a vaccine, and this kind of thing is seen as quite an infringement of liberties.
Okay. Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent for the Irish Times, thank you very much indeed for that update from the summit today. I have with me now infectious diseases consultant Dr. Owen Jabara and Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP and member of the EU Committee on Public Health, to discuss the vaccine passport idea. Because Billy Kelleher, you've been calling for a COVID vaccine certificates for several months now. Would you mind outlining to us how you think it could work?
Well, I think it would work in the sense that at the moment, for example, people are presenting at borders across the globe showing PCR tests. Now, by and large, they're authentic, but very often they're fraudulent, they're forged, they're just a PDF or an email or a screenshot. So if we take that a logical step further, you know, as the vaccine rollout takes place and we gain further evidence on whether or not it limits transmissibility of the COVID-19 disease itself, there's going to be an opening up of economies across the world. Now, how fast that takes place is dependent on the vaccine rollout and the impact that it will have on transmissibility. But beyond that, you have to look just slightly over the horizon and say, if we are to open up, if we are to, you know, get people and economies moving again, how do we actually prove that people have been vaccinated? And bear in mind, vaccination is a voluntary thing. It's not obligatory. It's not mandatory. People will make the choice themselves eventually. But in doing that, some countries will definitely insist on people being vaccinated before they enter that country. So how
and
do we
you say
that?
We should be part of that infrastructure, that I get my vaccine, that I get some kind of a stamp on my phone, or almost like a mark on my phone, and that can be beeped across through security almost, like a passport, is that right?
Well, yes, I mean, to be interoperable. In other words, it would operate within the European Union, and that they would have an agreement with other countries as well, so that, you know, if Europeans were travelling abroad outside of the European Union, that it would be an accepted standard. In other words, it couldn't be forged, or it wouldn't be fraudulent.
Okay. Can I bring in Owen Jabara?
It's not based on just giving people rights over others. It's just about facilitating the fact that, are you vaccinated or are you not? Can you enter the country? Bearing in mind, some countries have already said they will insist on people being vaccinated prior to entering it.
Okay, say with me if you don't mind. Can I bring in Dr. Owen Jabara? I believe you have concerns, do you, Owen, about a system like this?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, at the moment, it's a bit early to be talking about all of this. The vaccines are designed to prevent death and hospitalisation, and we're just seeing the impact of that really at early stages in it. So it's good to have the debate. I know down the road these questions are going to come up more and more, but it's to highlight that. And it's also important to realise that vaccines... it doesn't mean you suddenly have a bulletproof vest on. It doesn't protect absolutely. The endpoints in all of the studies so far are about death and hospitalization. Some people will still have COVID. And as Billy has said, some people may still continue to transmit the virus. So all those concerns about variants and reintroductions will remain. There's going to be a lot more science before we get to a point where we say exactly how the vaccines perform in real world. And we have examples of this already, so you need yellow fever vaccination certificates to enter some countries and to transit through some countries. You need a meningococcal vaccine to enter Saudi Arabia for the Hajj. So I think it's right to think about a system of this, but I really worry about the inequities that could arise because of some people's access to vaccine and other people's lack of access to vaccine.
But why not deal with the reality, as Billy Kelleher says, that over time, and he says, look over the horizon, countries will open up as the vaccination programs are implemented. And why not get on that bandwagon, really? Because you will have an argument and a growing movement, one assumes, in this country as well as others, of people wanting to go abroad who have been vaccinated and they want to see that infrastructure in place. Are you saying that that wouldn't be wise in the foreseeable future?
No, I think that would be wise. I mean, even within the country, we need to have a robust system that knows who's been vaccinated and that we can show their evidence of vaccination. So I think we need that, but I think the government are right to say there's two separate issues. One, we need an international system that's valid and won't be subject to nefarious use and fraudulent certification. But then the second thing is what exactly you do with it. And I think that's a very different thing. And I think be cautious about what we would be allowed to happen with that.
Let me bring you some text before I get to you to respond, Billy Kelleher. The vaccine does not prevent people from passing on the virus. It only protects themselves from getting very sick or dying. So a vaccine passport would not stop the spread of the virus in new countries. Gordon says we need a COVID zero policy. There are various vaccines with unknown levels of real world effectiveness, especially with regard to variants. Vaccines are not a panacea, says Gordon. And the point on variants, Billy Kelleher, that is surely holds this argument below the waterline, that you cannot move freely from country to country, even if you are vaccinated, for fear of bringing a mutation home that isn't protected by the vaccine.
Yeah, but Cormac, nobody's suggesting that you move freely from country to country. What I'm suggesting is that you would have a certificate to identify that you actually have had a vaccine. Bear in mind, you take towards the end of this year, you will have huge numbers of migrant workers across southern Europe picking fruit on farms across the entire European continent. You'd want to think that you should be able to show that if you're bringing people into a new area, like that they could identify whether or not they've been vaccinated, because you're putting people's health at risk otherwise. So the idea would be if a person vaccinated, that is, should be able to prove that they're vaccinated. I think it's a very logical step. We're in the middle of the pandemic at the moment. We have 150 people in ICU beds today. You know, we still have a long way to go. But us putting this particular system in place at the end of the event, and we walking around in the meantime with PDFs and emails and papers inside in our pockets saying that we were vaccinated, put a system in place if it's to be used effectively and efficiently towards the end when we have more science and evidence on the pandemic and transmissibility of COVID-19, at least we'd have the system in place. It would facilitate public health and opening up in a safe, practical, logical manner.
Can I ask you, Eoin Jabara, about something that was mentioned by Billy Kelleher in his initial comments, and that is that even if you are vaccinated, the data is inconclusive at the moment about it stopping you from passing on the disease. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, so a lot of the early trials didn't look at this. Some of them more laterally have. And we know that some people, they don't, again, get hospitalized or die, but they get a mild COVID but shed viable virus. The extent of which that is, we don't know yet, but that certainly happens. So it highlights the fact that with infectious disease overall and with vaccines and with COVID, the risk taker isn't the person that feels the risk. So the person who's vaccinated and thinks everything's good and goes on their holiday or goes for their migrant work, they're not the ones that necessarily is going to feel the risk. They're likely protected. But if they can bring that virus or that variant back to somebody else down the chain of infection will feel that risk that they've taken.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there. Dr. Eoin Jabara, consultant in infectious diseases and senior lecturer at the RCSI, and Billy Kelleher, MEP. Thank you both very much indeed.